All right. Well, as the Apostle Paul makes us aware of, he says, we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. God hath tempered the body together, given a more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or whether one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. The first few moments of our class is always dedicated to giving you a few moments to bring us up to speed on anything that you'd like to make the assembly aware of that's been going on, anything that you'd like for us to know about, not trying to invade your privacy, but just updates more than anything else. All right. Well, apparently Tuesday's a big day because there's a lot of things going on Tuesday as well. I heard that Dave and Robin are going to be celebrating a anniversary. So, oh, tomorrow. I'm sorry, tomorrow. Tomorrow's the 21st. First, yeah, well, it's, yeah, coming. Well, congratulations. Who else was it? That's right. Yeah. Okay. How many years for you? 13. The big 13. Okay. Well, our next one will be 40. All right. Well, I do have, apparently Cecil and Jerry were here yesterday. I see remnants of their visit all over and on my pulpit, so I thank them for the the sweet-smelling sacrifice that was on the pulpit this morning. It was a candy bar. Many candy bars. And Cecil left this on the pulpit, and I wanted to read it to you. You know that I'm having trouble with my voice some this morning, but I know it'll get going. Somebody. Is this door still unlocked? for those of you who are not aware, if you go to our website, I think, I haven't seen that website in years, but if you do go to that website, I think there's a little blurb on there about a sister church of ours in Evansville, Indiana. And the reason that's there is because the pastor of that church was Denny Walters. And Denny is the one who actually presented the message of God's Word Rightly Divided to me. And so, excuse me. I'm starting to sound like Cecil. Denny's ministry was huge to me because he was the first person to lay out God's Word Rightly Divided, and it completely revolutionized my understanding of the Bible, and things that didn't make sense and were at odds with each other no longer were, and there was a lot of sense being made out of it. And Denny was also the one I said, I realized after I had met with him and I came back here and looked at my study and realized that all my books were now obsolete. So my library, you know, is now just trashed. So I wrote him and I said, do you know, has anybody ever written anything on this rightly dividing thing? And he said, yeah. And I said, well, could you send me a list of guys, of authors that you trust? And he said, sure. And he sent me this list, and he did not bias my thinking at all. He just sent me a list of names. And on that list was a guy by the name of Keith Blades, who had written a very interesting titled book called Satan and His Plan of Evil, and I thought, well, now that book needs to be read. I mean, just for the title alone, that book needs to be read. And so that's how I was introduced to Keith. So Denny and his church has always been a very major part of why our assembly really today is where we are. And unfortunately, Denny died not too long after that. And so their church went through a time of trying to get a pastor, and they were so discouraged by every pastor candidate that they had that they finally decided, well, why don't we just start tracking along with Triangle Bible Church, which with us. And so they did. And I made it very clear to them that if they ever wanted to go off on their own and everything, we're not lording over them or involved in their actual business details of running their church or anything. But they've stuck with us for all these years, and there's just a few of them now, just a little handful of them, but they still meet faithfully, and they still listen, and they still support our church. And this time, in the support that they sent to us, they sent a little note. So I wanted to read this to you, and it's from them to us, and to Cecil, and she wanted it I thought it would be good to share with you. She said, I sure enjoyed talking. She's talking to Cecil with you recently, and it reminded me how grateful I am for you and for the ministry of Triangle Bible Church and the church family there. It was such an encouragement to hear how you are coping with these difficult times of 2020 and still growing in the building process. From the extended family in Evansville, we trust that we can bring comfort to other body members as well. Please find our gift to Triangle Bible Church as part of our labor of love to you. We appreciate the attempt to help us. Here are some comments by the congregation during the studies. So whatever that microphone is doing back there, you know, I take it by what she said. She says, we appreciate the attempt. So, I don't know if there's a subtle hidden message in that or not, but the biggest, I don't want to say complaint, but the biggest ask of internet listeners is, we would love to hear what the assembly is saying. We can't hear what they're saying when we interact with each other. So we're trying to get that solved. And we're not there yet, I don't think, 100%, but we're on the road, which is farther than we were a year ago. So she says, we appreciate the attempt to help us. Here's some comments by the congregation during the studies. We would enjoy being there physically, but thank you for trying to improve our long-distance learning. We wish you all maximum growth as we look forward to the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our Savior. Love, Lori, Mary, Bobby, and Diana. And this, I think, was written by Diana, which is Diana Walters, that would be Denny's wife. So just wanted to pass that on to you as well. And the microphone, for those of you on the internet, that crash that you just heard was the microphone. Oh, okay. That thing's. Does that take a licking and keep on ticking? All right. Well, I'll say this. If things keep going in this country the way they're going right now, the internet listeners will be able to hear all of us soon, because we'll probably be all stuck in somebody's front room. All right. We have it kind of fixed. Mm-hmm. That's real engineering back there, Eric. Yeah. Tissue boxes. Okay. All right. Anything else before we get underway then? All right. Yeah.
I have a couple of Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, she is pretty much under a quarantine situation.
Mm.
Even family can't really get here. I mean,
yeah.
She can come downstairs and come outside, but we have to stay, you know, 6 feet away.
Right. Well, I know we were talking about maybe getting the girls to go sing to her and cheer her up a little bit, but I know. Well, if you could let us know whenever the restrictions ease on that so that we can see her, because as soon as we can. Yeah. Yeah.
Rob, we could do it from a distance. We could walk around the yard, sing, wave, say hello from, you know, the road or whatever, and maybe get
in. Doesn't her. If I remember, does her apartment face the back of that thing?
Yes.
That's the problem. She does have a little balcony, right?
There's a parking lot back there, and she has sliding doors that she can open.
Is there a parking lot back there?
Yes.
Maybe we could work that out. Huh? Maybe we could have her just walk out on the balcony. Yeah.
All right, I'll talk to her about it.
Yeah. Let's see if we can set something up.
Okay.
Yeah. It's got to be tough. I mean... Yeah. All right. All right. Well, if
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's see what we can do. Okay, if nothing else, let's get underway. And now please, would you open your Bibles once again to Romans chapter 16. Last week we did a big review type thing. Hopefully it helped. But we need to get back. Romans 16. We have just 27 verses left in our book. Verse 1. And this will probably be the last time I read this full list for a while, because this morning we're going to be introduced to Phoebe. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord as become a saint, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaenetus, who is the firstfruits of Achaia unto Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and fellow prisoners, who are known among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus's household. Salute Herodian, my kinsman. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Salute Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobus, Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. Salute Philologus and Julia, Nereus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints which are with them. Salute one another with an holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Before we get ourselves underway this morning, let's have some special music. I feel like this weather's bringing out some special music here. Let's do an oldie but a goodie. One we've had a couple of times, and I just feel like this would be great for us. Again, this is recorded at a hymn sing in London, England. So the British do this from time to time. They have these sings with full orchestra, full choir, and full participation of everybody that is there. And this was filmed at Royal Albert Hall in London, England. This is one of my favorite Fanny Crosby hymns, and I think... Katie's favorite hymn, To God Be the Glory. How can you not sing to that? Maybe someday we'll get our singing straightened out here. All right. We ready? All right. Before we get underway, Chris, would you lead us in prayer, please? Just before we get to our lesson or today, have you ever read a verse 100 times and then you read it again and you think it's like the first time you ever read it? And you're like, where have you been all my life? That just happened to me this week, and it really concerns some of the things we were talking about last week and the review. And it's also a passage that we've read in connection with our studies in Romans when we were talking about Paul going up to Jerusalem to give to the poor saints at Jerusalem the contribution made by the Gentile body of Christ saints in Macedonia and Achaia over in Acts chapter 20. And the reason I want to bring this out is because early on, I think on back there in the back somewhere, we've got a statement of our purpose and all this kind of thing. And you think of what Paul says to Timothy about the church being the pillar and ground of the truth and all of this kind of thing. But to those who, again, I think some of the criticisms that we often get is that we don't spend every single Bible class talking about God's Word rightly divided, or say that Paul's our apostle in every class that we have. But we realize that. That's a wonderful thing. We don't want to minimize it or downplay it at all. But rightly dividing is just the beginning. Rightly dividing is the beginning to be edified properly, and edification is what it's about. And I found a passage where I thought, why didn't I notice this before this way? But if I was to say, what is the purpose of our church? This is it. One verse can just suffice for it. And if you come over, I want to show it to you because I'm kind of excited about it. I get excited about these things. Come back to Acts 20. Come back to Acts 20. There's just a little, we won't spend hardly any time on this at all, but Acts 20. Remember when we read through this? And this was Paul going to Jerusalem, and is going to be hits just before he goes, he's going to do all these things, and he's at Ephesus, right? And at Ephesus, they come to the time where Paul's going to leave them. And if you come down to verse 28, he says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which," this is kind of Paul's charge to them just before he leaves, and they're going to just bawl their eyes out when he leaves. I oftentimes think about that. You know, when my pastor left the church in Indiana, the pastor that led me to Christ, he didn't want a party, he didn't want any of those things. He was just there and then gone. And that's what I want. I just want to be here and go. There's no crying, just mark who? Forget about me and support the next guy. But they wept sore and fell on his neck and that kind of thing. But this is what he said prior to that. He said, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, He's talking to those the pastors of those churches there in Ephesus, and feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Sometimes people ask me, should I leave the church? I always ask them, are you being fed? If you're not, leave. If you're not, and you should say, if you're not being fed properly. For I know that this is after that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, and spare not the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. This is the beginning of denominations. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver. And that's the verse that just hit me. I thought, that's it. Verse 32, that's it. That's what we are. That's why we're here. And now, brethren, I commend you to God. If the pastor does his job right, you'll never have to say, Mark Newbold taught me this, or Mark Newbold said this. You'll always be able to say, this is what my Father, my Heavenly Father, taught me this. Paul's name is not in verse 32. He says, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. That's what we're about. That's what a local church is for. It's where the word of his grace, something special about his grace under the revelation of the mystery of his grace. But that little word, that little phrase encapsulates Paul's epistles. The word of his grace, which is able to build you up. What is that? That's edification. That's edification. To give you an inheritance. That's what your edification is for. You're going to be an heir of God, but not only that, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And your edification depends upon that. And notice what he says, among them which are sanctified. It's a given that you're justified, but you now have to understand who you are in Christ sanctification-wise. Dead to sin, alive unto God, a son and daughter of God, an adopted adult son. And all of that Paul understood because Romans had already been written. That verse, I'm going to take that thing down if it's still back there. I'm just going to put that one verse on there. That's what we're for. That's what we're about. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. There's the words that are going to work to build, which is able. It's those words, Paul's words, able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them. There's that grand business of our Heavenly Father to which he's called us and which we are being edified and educated in all along, among all them which are sanctified. That verse just completely blew. I thought, wow, I wish I'd have written that. I'm excited about that verse. So if anybody ever asks, well, why are you guys doing what you're doing? Take them to that verse and say, well, that's what you should be doing. Anyway, let's get back to Romans now. Romans chapter 16. And I think what I want to do is, again, put my list of names up here. We'll start with this. And again, we're looking at this first list, list number one. List number two will be coming up later on with these guys over here. And they're going to be saluting the saints. The saints at Rome are to salute these people. These guys here, all men, are going to salute them. Among those is a fellow by the name of Tertius. You see Tertius up there who he says wrote this letter. For those of you who don't know it, Paul didn't write any of the words of Romans, he dictated it to a stenographer by the name of Tertius, and God saw to it that he got his name in there. I can just see him peeping up going, and I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you. There in verse 22. So we're focused upon this, and I've got, once again, all the little letters after the names are... Phoebe is to be received. The rest are to be greeted and saluted. So you have all G's and S's. The W's in the front of the names are all women. And then Andronicus and Junia are kind of singled out here because they are part of the little flock that were still meeting with and fellowshipping with those of the body of Christ. And we'll talk a lot about them when we get down there to them. So I just wanted to once again mention that. There were three others, Stephanus, Fortunatus, and Achaicus, who are in the 1 Corinthians 16 passage, when you get them, you get the full complement of those words up there. These are all edification servants, succorers, a word you've probably never used in your life, maybe sucker, but not like this. And that's a beautiful word, a wonderful English word, and we need to recover that. Helpers, laborers, ones who are approved, suppliers, and refreshers. And what we have come to appreciate about this list, we'll take those three guys off for now because we're focused on the list in Romans. You're going to benefit from this list in two ways. You're going to need to become as those on this list for other members of the body of Christ, and you are going to need other members of the body of Christ to be as those on this list for you. And that takes us to that summary statement that we've dealt with before, that there is a doctrinal reason for this, and this is all I'm going to review this morning, and that is that this list that is given is for our edification and doctrine, as godly edification is becoming more and more understood by us properly as a joint effort, where Paul in Ephesians is going to be able to say that every joint supplies something. It's a joint effort of the body of Christ. We're going to be suffering together. And that's going to require some things from the body. When your physical body suffers, it requires certain things. When you get an infection in a particular part of the body and it begins to suffer, other parts of the body come to its aid. And this is part of what we're going to be going through, especially in level 2 sonship. That's Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, where not only the sufferings of this present time are still being dealt with, they're going to be dealt with till the day you die. And you've been taught in Romans how to deal with that brand of suffering. But added to that are the sufferings of Christ, which are sufferings that are specifically from the policy of evil directed toward your message and toward you later on, that is designed to get you to get bewildered, to get discouraged, to end up throwing in the towel and just quitting. And those are going to be encountered, and those demand edification, servants, succorers, helpers, laborers, all on that list in order to deal effectually and effectively with those effects of the opposition of the policy of evil, the satanic policy of evil. And we've described the ways in which that will be done. And I think as we go through this list, we'll see the ways in which that can be done. And one of those ways we start out with this morning with Phoebe. All right. So let's get to let's put aside now all that we've been talking about in preparation for this, and let's now return to our outline, and when we and return to the outline here, and we will begin now filling out this one more step, and then we'll start looking at the details. You'll notice in our outline once again, we're dealing with a large part of the Bible, Romans 15:8 through 16:27. In that very large part, the whole thing is our Father is going to talk to you before you exit Romans. He's going to say things to you. Once you have that sound foundational establishment, He's going to say things to prepare you to receive the upcoming establishment. No E, establishment. Establish is the building structure proper that sits on the foundation. If you think of it that way, your thinking is good. The establishment is the foundation. Establishment is the superstructure that's going to be built upon it. And once that sound preparation has been made establishment-wise, the Father wants to ensure that you're going to be ready for the sound establishment to come, because He knows something you don't know. He knows the kind of opposition and resistance you're going to get, not only from yourself. We think of it from the adversary. Remember, you've been taught from the very beginning, who is your worst enemy? That's right. You. Don't ever forget it. Oh, the devil's after me. Well, most of the time, you're your own worst enemy. In fact, your father, back in the book of Proverbs, a father makes a son aware of the fact that he is twice the enemy to himself that the adversary is. There are two particular ways in which you're an enemy to yourself that he goes over back there, and I just want to remind you of that. So you're going to face these problems. He knows that. So these are things that are designed to set you on a path that is going to be the greatest path of success for you attaining the rest, because the Father can't wait for you to get what's sitting out there in Ephesians. When he can take all this groundwork that he's made, and then he can really open, it's as if he can go to his safe and call you into his innermost sanctum, his innermost office, and he goes to the safe and he opens up the safe and he pulls the blueprints of his business out, and he says, now that you've got Romans, and he rolls the blueprints out and he says, here's what we're going to do with all that. And you begin to see the facets of the wisdom of his grace when it comes to the heavenly places and what he's going to accomplish with us in those heavenly realms. And so a lot of important things are happening. He speaks to us in a twofold manner. First of all, in verses 8 through 16:16, which is our section, he's providing us with the ability to go on and get the rest of our sonship education and edification and get to be that young man, young woman status that we looked about last time when those four major titles that you have sitting back there in the book of Proverbs. So that brings us to the information contained in verses Romans 15:8 through 16:16. We've dealt with the godly thinking. We know that there's godliness involved, so there's going to be a section dedicated to the godly thinking. We've gone over that, the godly living in connection with that godly thinking. And now we are dealing with the godly labor. And it too, like the thinking and the living, has three parts, A, B, and C. And once we've obtained the godly thinking, in view of that thinking, conducting ourselves accordingly in godly living, our conduct and behavior, and in view of the godly thinking and living, we now have the honor and privilege of laboring and working together with our Father in what he's doing. And as we come now to part B of the godly thinking, we had that sonship checkpoint that took place in the last verse of chapter 15, but we come to part B now. In Romans 15:8 through 16, my understanding is that due to the position that Phoebe is put in, and again, let's just read the first two verses. And I need you, between now and Wednesday and next Sunday, I know it may seem redundant, but read and reread just those two verses. I commend, because I want to tell you right now, Paul says something about Phoebe that he doesn't say about anybody else. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many and of myself also. My understanding is that due to, first of all, the very position Phoebe is in. All right? If you look at the list, she's first mentioned. I think there's something to that. She's in the first position in the list. She's mentioned first. And due to the specific terminology, as I think about the terminology God uses in connection with the actions of the saints in Rome that they were to take, the actions they were to take concerning her, they are to receive her, but not just any way, in the Lord, as becometh saints. And then they are also to assist her. There is something she is going to, there's something she's doing that's going to demand their assistance. This isn't described this way with anybody else. There's something she's doing. And one of the most striking things about, I think, about this whole thing is that it's a woman. It's a she. It's a woman that's doing this. He's not sending a man. He's sending a woman to do this. Which shows you, again, in the body, there is neither male nor female, Jew nor Gentile. She has a role to play. And if my understanding is correct, this is huge what she's doing. But when I think about the terminology God uses to describe her and the actions the saints were going to take in connection with her and what God specifically says about her, at least in my thinking, I see Phoebe as set apart from the rest that are mentioned in this list. Not a lot. She's not set out completely on her own. She's definitely connected with them all. But I do see a significance in her that I don't see in the rest. She's kind of set apart. Something about her and her service and the succoring that made her ministry to the Roman saints, listen, a pressing matter. And being first, it's a priority matter. Now, I want you to note something right now. And let me put my list back up there. Where's my list of names? You need, and listen very carefully to what I'm about to say, because this is hugely important. The people on this list, all 29 of them in total, 27 by name, and by the way, I could include them as well, but right now, all those people on that list, the people mentioned on that list, are not. Am I clear so far? They are not listed from most important to least important. There's no such thing as that in body thinking, right? By the time you get through Romans doctrine, there is no such thing as most important, least important in the body. That's one of the things the critics of sonship edification or of edification at all, of those standing at the judgment seat of Christ and some receiving greater reward than others, some being approved and some being ashamed, those who don't like that doctrine, they're not thinking like body members. They're not thinking like, they tout about being members of the body of Christ and they don't think like it. No member of the body of Christ who's got Romans doctrine ever thinks most important to least important, not even the pastor. Most important to least important. There is no such thing as most important to least important. That means there is no such thing as the principality in the body, in the creature, in the heavenly places, the principalities, powers, mights, and dominions. Those aren't most important to least important. They have different functions, but they're all necessary for the body. I wish the body of Christ and those who rightly divide and understand themselves as being the body of Christ would do one simple thing. Just think like the body. Oh, no. This guy's my pastor. This guy's great. This guy's terrible. This guy's this. This guy's that. Well, I want it known that I don't teach most important to least important. Ever. These are not most important, that's not body thinking, that's not sonship thinking. Now, even though that's true, there are members of my body, there are parts of my body that sometimes have a priority. Let me give you a for instance. I, on weather like this, I love to walk. I don't walk to lose weight, which is obvious. It doesn't work for some reason. I can walk until I die and I'd probably still be just as fat. I walk because I enjoy it, and it helps. I have music that I listen to, and hopefully there aren't a lot of people around, but lately there's been too many people. But I enjoy walking, and there's parts of my walk. When I walk at Joyner Park, there's parts of my walk that are downhill. There's other parts that are pretty steep, and when I'm going up those pretty steep parts, there are times when my body demands a priority body part take the priority role. For instance, my heart starts really beating. Some great cardio work going up those hills. And my lungs, my heart and lungs now are in a priority because all the other members of my body are saying, hey, I need some oxygen or I'm going to cramp up or I need this or I need that. And I don't know what all goes on there on any kind of molecular level, but I need all of a sudden, and it's not that my lungs or my heart are the best or the most important or anything like that. It's that all the other, there's times when stress comes upon a body that there's certain parts of that body that take a priority role. They have a pressing matter. And Phoebe is in that position. She's not better than anybody or more important than anybody on this list, but she has a particular function that has a very pressing, important matter. And that's why she's being dealt with here. She has a different priority matter than the other saints in Rome who were attending to or ministering to, and all the other mentioned on this list. Phoebe's mentioned first because of a particular pressing priority matter that demands their attention on her first and foremost, on her service to them. Phoebe was to be received and received a particular way. She's the only one on that list that is different. All the others are either greeted or saluted. She's the only one that's different. All the rest of them, as far as the Roman saints were concerned, are going to either salute or greet, except for Phoebe. Phoebe's to be received, and she's to be assisted. There's something that they're going to do with her. So, because of this, my understanding is there's a slight shift between Phoebe and the rest of the list. In other words, the action surrounding Phoebe is to be thought of as slightly separated, not totally, but something's different going on with her than the remainder of the list. So that tells me, when I go back to our chart, that what I've just done is to try to show you my understanding of why don't I take this as all 16 verses together? Because there's something different going on with Phoebe. So with Phoebe, part B is the godly labor of properly receiving her, Phoebe, as a member of the body of Christ in godly love and charity. And that's very, very general. We'll get into the specifics. And then part C is going to be really just the rest of the list, saluting and greeting the saints in godly love and charity. But I see part B is to properly receive Phoebe. And maybe it should be said more clearly, but it's just a general statement. And so before we begin looking at the details of the passage, I want to do one thing before we finish the first session. And that is, let's go back to our, we'll put the list back up there just for something to look at. I want to reinforce a matter that I've touched on before, and this is going to be important. And I want you to hear it again just before we delve into the details of Phoebe. And that is, you can say that all the individuals, all the churches and the households that God has Paul mentioned in the list, you can say they're 2,000 years dead. They're dead, buried, gone. Nobody even knows where their graves are at. And that's entirely true. All these people have been dead for over 2,000 years now. Their churches, their assemblies, their households have been dead and gone for over 2,000 years. All that's very true. And you could say that because of that, the only thing to even take note of here is what most commentaries and commentators, and by the way, that's all a commentator is. He's just a commentator. They basically look at this, and you could easily look at this and view this, and the only thing to take note of here is the history of these folks. Little that there is, if you can find any. Some of them you can. Some of them you can't find much of anything about them. By the way, Phoebe's one of them. The most we know about her is what's right here. She's not mentioned anywhere else in Scripture. It's one time only. But what a time. So the only value that you can oftentimes come away with this, if you're not careful, is thinking the only value of this passage is of a historical nature, and maybe making some secondary application of what these folks did to us today. And what you end up with is just looking at this and viewing this, as so many sermons do, as just a devotional type thing. The only value in it is devotional value. But again, we need to keep in mind, God intentionally included this. He included this intentionally in the list of, not only in this list here, in the details of it. He included it in what we call Holy Scripture. That is, Romans 16, 1 through 16 is a part of the Scriptures. And as recorded by Paul in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture, including Paul's, including this list, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, which means every word He wants in the Bible is in it. Every word He wants out of the Bible is out of it. That's inspiration. I don't know if that's taught as a whole course in college seminary, but you can leave your $50,000 on the table back there for that little gem. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable. I know that this is profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, but the first thing it's profitable for in that list is doctrine. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. By the way, those four things, doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, you'll find Paul follow that pattern just as he follows godliness, thinking, living, and labor. You look at 1 Corinthians and you'll find when he starts to deal with matters of people having problems, he'll give you doctrine, he'll reprove you, he'll correct them, and then he'll give them instruction in righteousness. He'll follow that pattern. And then he goes on to say that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. Not thoroughly, but throughly. Throughly is inside out. Thoroughly is outside in. Well, that makes me understand and appreciate this passage is not just to be taught and gone over as a history lesson. Rather, even though the people are long dead and gone, there's profitable doctrinal value in this list for our godly sonship edification. This list is profitable for our instruction in righteousness. And that profitable value is found, one, in the actions of the members of the body of Christ one toward another. That's part of the profit of this. It's profitable in noticing and understanding how members of the body receive one another, assist one another, greet one another, salute one another. Instead of ripping each other up, having the pastor for lunch, and I'm not talking about going to your house for lunch. You just eat him up at lunch. It's kind of like I said to the ladies the other night, that old Andy Griffith episode, when he walks in the soda shop and all the ladies are standing there just happy as can be, and he goes, "My, aren't we happy this morning? Must be cutting somebody up pretty good." That's many churches today. The value of this is seeing how they loved one another. And they greeted, they received, they saluted, they assisted. And secondly, the profitable doctrinal value is found in the additional information details concerning these, which is further insight. With these little details, we get insight into the various operations of God. We're not many here. We never will be. But we are a local assembly, a local part of the body of Christ. And we function as a body. And there are operations that God has put within this assembly that are valuable for your training for when you leave this world and this body and in your immortal glorified body live and reign in the heavenly realm, and you are already trained in the vocation you will be involved in. We get insight into those various operations, especially as the members of the body of Christ and you and I undergo the sufferings of Christ. And we see these members here do that. And as they go on to get the remainder of their godly sonship edification. Now, all of that adds up to me that my Heavenly Father is giving us further information here in these first 16 verses. He's giving us further information how to deploy the doctrine He's given us in the first 15 chapters of the book. Because my understanding is that you're not getting any new doctrine here. You're not getting any new doctrine taught to you. Rather, you're getting further details concerning the successful advancement, Phoebe's business has to do with the successful advancement of godly sonship edification. That's her job. That's what her business is about, as we will see. And you're getting details concerning successful advancement of godly edification, the kind of godly work and labor working together with God in His edification building business. Rather than giving you new doctrine to operate upon here, God's giving you areas of immediately laboring and working together with Him, deploying the doctrine you've already been given in order to function and operate in ways that end up helping, and we could go through the whole list of seven things mentioned up there, but just to put it in one, you end up helping the edification process. That's what we're here for. I can guarantee you, if we're all together for another 10 years, we're not going to have a choir 10 years from now. So if you think that's going to happen here, forget it. I'm not interested in a choir or choir robes. We're not ever going to have stained glass in these windows. We're not going to put a big organ in or any of those things. We've got a piano that half works, and that's good enough. There's some keys that don't work on it, I think. But I guarantee you, if we're here another 10 years, we're going to be advanced in sonship edification. That's what we're here for. We have training to get to. We've got a lot of work to do. And as far as I'm concerned, no assembly has been given a greater opportunity than you have. The question is, what are you going to do with it? Because I can tell you right now, there's some young people sitting back there that are going to have to fight for it, even if you don't. And you will. Well, this is giving us an insight into how to deploy that doctrine. These people were facing withering opposition and real danger. Well, I think we're right up against it on time. And I just wanted to say that. And then I want to start looking at the details. And so what we'll do is I'm trying to hold myself. Say, okay, we're right up at the hour now. So let's not do an hour 10. Let's just do an hour and get done with it. Well, let's do that. That's a good place to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to start looking at the details of verses 1 and 2. Any questions or comments? Is the coffee pot on? And Jerry may have left some goodies back there, I don't know. But we'll take our break right here, and we'll come back in about 15 minutes, and we'll get underway.